You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right. I want to thank our friend DJ Van Curen and the Family Office Real Estate Magazine for sending us this amazing guest, Akhil Patel of Ascendant Strategy. Akhil is calling in from London. Thank you so much for staying up late. I know it's not that late, but for me it is. I'm always asleep by like 10. So Akhil, we were talking about the double peak in the upward 18-year real estate cycle, which kind of makes it look a little shorter and may give it some optical illusions. Tell me what somebody's real risk is if they don't understand where we are in this macro real estate cycle.
That's a really good question. So, I mean, essentially, the cycle involves pretty much 14 years of things going okay and then 4 years of things going very badly. And the most recent experience that we had, that you had in the US, was between 2006 and 2010, 11. And, you know, in Europe, it was maybe a bit later. If you don't know where you are in the cycle, you're very likely to get very caught up in the final frenzied years of the expansion, which are really quite significant economic periods. You know, there's a lot of credit available. People are buying assets all over the place and overpaying for assets and not really paying attention to what makes fundamentally good sense in terms of whether the numbers stack up. And if you are then holding overpaid assets at that period, you can get very significantly burned, be forced to sell in a significant recession, and, you know, it can really affect your family's wealth. During the expansionary phases, if you're able to buy in at the beginning, which is difficult because everyone is, you know, economically in a very bad situation, there's not much credit available, those are the times in which you can make really the best generation-building wealth that you can. And so you need to understand the overall sort of framework to be able to take advantage of these opportunities.
Now, I live in Miami. I sell a lot of urban land. Every time I drive around, I complain about traffic to my mom. She says that I should be quiet. It's my fault. Now, I have a lot of clients that own a lot of land. Now, you have a comment in here that they need to know about in an area like Miami, which has got a lot of interesting trends in the land business. I'll leave it like that, because the people that are in the land business in Miami, they know what I mean. So we're really cyclical. So what happens when we're at the end of the cycle and we're heading another direction?
Well, at the end of the cycle, land site values typically are the first things to turn down before the stock market, before even the prices of finished real estate. And so, you know, if you're holding land during that sort of downward spiral, you might have to wait quite some time before you're going to realize the value that it was at before the peak. But we are, as I just sort of commented before, the last peak in a real estate cycle in Florida and in the U.S. was in 2006. And there's a very regular sort of pattern to the cycle. We won't expect the cycle to peak again till the mid-2020s.
No, I do a lot of condominium development, and I'm telling the people with a 4 to 5 year horizon, they got to start now, and they'll still capture the backside of the cycle. So I want to thank you so much. I got to have you on the show more often, Akhil.
Yes, I'm happy to do your PR. And
you're doing great. You're doing great. We got to like co-authors like a hot sheet to send out. I got a lot of great people want your information. So Akhil, let's keep talking. So where Indeed. Are we now in the cycle, and what should that tell us to do?
Right. So you mentioned earlier that there are sort of two peaks within the cycle. So there is, you typically find over the course of the cycle, there's what I call a mid-cycle slowdown, which tends to be a smaller recession where things, you know, slow down for a couple of years at most. Real estate prices don't come down by too much, but, you know, you might find that they don't increase very significantly. There may be a recession. The stock market may come down for a couple of years. And we are approaching that phase of the cycle now. So, you know, you may find as an investor the next couple of years things aren't looking so good. But if you don't have to sell, if you've got the ability to stay the course, then my advice would be to kind of keep some surplus capital available, because, you know, during the recession, you might start to find that prices are coming down and you're actually looking and and finding sort of very good deals, and you want to be able to take advantage of that. But of course, if you're already invested and you think things aren't going so well, well, you know, if you've got the ability to keep holding, then I would certainly do that, because the second half of the cycle, which I'm expecting to take place kind of in the early to mid 2020s, is really the more significant half of the cycle where things really appreciate rapidly and the economy is looking in very good shape.
Yeah, well, that's because people want to get in before it gets bad again, I think is what you said. So, but it sounds to me like the main premise that I've always had in real estate, which is the strong man wins, the person that's the strongest can hold out the longest, sounds like what you're telling me. And you advise families who have real long horizons. So I really see where your information really can help them out. So if I'm the CIO of a family and we're short on real estate, but we keep seeing new deals and I'm calling you to consult, what are you going to tell me?
If you're calling me right now and I'm saying, you know, make sure it's a very good deal, the numbers stack up, you might allow some, allow for the values to slacken a bit if they do during the mid-cycle, as I said. Make sure you're not really over-leveraged, but, you know, you're sensibly conservative in your approach to investment. You're not building any hope value into your financial models, etc., then I think it's certainly something you should be pursuing, because good real estate deals are, they don't pop out all the time. Well, maybe they do for you because you're such an expert.
I am an expert, Akhil. That's why you have to hang out with me, man. So no, but really, indeed. I have a client that's putting together an opportunity fund right now, and I go to him, why are you putting together an opportunity fund? He says, I feel it in my bones, it's coming, I want to be ready. Now I look at your chart, I see why. It's amazing. It's time for going out and getting opportunities and getting your cash together and getting into line, because it seems to me like we've got, about 18 months left, and then we're going to have a little bit of a dip, which will be the opportunity. And then you come back, like you said, in the late part of the 2020, 2021. And if you've got cash at that point, you're going to be riding up the spike part, the hockey stick part of the cycle.
Yes, that's exactly right. And so, I don't think you need to be rushing into any deals right now. If you can afford to, find the absolutely best one, but if something becomes available to you, then you should definitely take advantage. And yes, have some cash lying around as well, because further good deals will become available, and you should take advantage.
What I'm seeing now is that you can get a better return if you build than if you buy. People that are buying are getting real low returns vis-a-vis development, and I got to believe, again, listening to what you're saying here, is if I start my development, I can come out right at the right part of the cycle, right as we're ending the recession. I've got a 3 or 4 year development cycle, so it seems like that's something to do. Now I'm going to tease everybody a little bit.
I mean, that's true in London as well. Actually, we're finding the same thing. So it's the cycle is becoming even more synchronized. Western Europe is going through similar experiences to the U.S. at the moment.
Well, we have similar capital deployment vehicles on both sides of the Atlantic, and in fact, in the Pacific as well. The capital companies, the people that provide capital, and the money centers are looking internationally. We've got the Chinese here in Miami. We just had a huge trade show for the Chinese down here. So everybody's everywhere, and they can see us and hear us on the internet right now. See us if they want, hear us if they want. And so that's why the world is getting a little smaller, Akhil. I really want to thank you for coming in today.
Oh, I'm very, very pleased to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
It's my pleasure. Now, we've got a second left, and so I want to ask you one last question.
Sure.
What's the second half of your article going to say? I'm just kidding. We can't let you do that. I see. I read it all the way to the end. I'm not going to sell out DJ Van Curen. I want to thank our friends at the Family Office Real Estate Magazine, my good friend DJ Van Curen. And I want to thank Akhil Patel for coming in. And Akhil, we've got another minute left. Give the people that came in and tuned in a little late a little bit of insight. It's an 18-year real estate development cycle, not the short one that they think, but that's a macro cycle. How did you figure that out? And why are you so sure?
Well, I figured it out by going back to research by a number of economists that most people haven't heard of, but particular Homer Hoyt, who identified throughout 19th century U.S. history a very regular 18-year real estate cycle in Chicago, and that same was true of many other major cities in America. And basically, if you go over U.S. history, and this is why I'm sure it's going to turn out again, because if you go over 200 years of U.S. history, you find the cycle repeating every single time, without fail, 18 years, regular as clockwork. The only things that have interrupted it in 200 years are the two world wars. But after they were over, the cycle reasserted itself. The way that I've seen things unfolding so far, it's just happening again, just as it's happened before. I mean, the numbers get bigger, but the cycle still turns in the same way.
Akhil Patel, you've become my favorite economist, Descendant Strategy. Do you guys have a newsletter that I should be subscribing to? This is great stuff.
Yes, I do. I have a newsletter in the UK called Cycles, Trends and Forecasts, through which I discuss real estate cycles. And I actually talk a lot about the stock market and commodities and other sort of assets. And so if you Googled me, my name and Cycles, Trends and Forecasts, you'll find it. I'm actually looking to launch something similar in the US in maybe the coming 12 to 18 months.
Well, thank you so much, Akhil. Great having you on the show again. I want to thank our good friend DJ Van Curen at the Family Office Real Estate Magazine for sending Akhil our way. And Akhil, after you write your next article in the Family Office Real Estate Magazine, you think I can book you again?
I'd be more than happy to come back.